Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. Hello, guys. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, helping you to be free from food crazies using nothing but your own brain and a few household items. Plus, you don't need the household items. And so excited for our interview today. We have Dr. Amy Johnson back on the show, and I know that you guys always give me amazing feedback just of how much her insight has just helped you on your own journeys with different habits that you want to change, including binge eating, food crazies, all that stuff that we talk about so much here. And just with, you know, emotions, that's something that we've touched on before in past interviews. And this is all just great stuff for life. So excited to have her back on the show. And for those of you who don't already know who she is, but who is that? I don't know, but we're going to give you a bio anyway. So Dr. Amy Johnson, PhD, shares a groundbreaking new approach that helps people find true lasting freedom from unwanted habits via insight rather than willpower. She has been regularly featured as an expert on The Steve Harvey Show and Oprah.com, as well as in The Wall Street Journal and Self Magazine. She is author of Being Human and The Little Book of Big Change, The No Willpower Approach to Breaking Any Habit, and the creator of The Little School of Big Change, an online school designed to lead you to freedom. And we will put links in the show notes below so you can find more of her and her amazing stuff. But we are so excited to just have her back on the show. And Dr. Amy Johnson, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Lydia. Thank you for having me back. I love your show.
Well, I'm so happy that you're here. And I know that we've had fun just talking about our topic for today because it's such a huge deal. So one thing that I know we wanted to focus on was just talking about real lasting, for sure, for real, change. Because it's sort of like this elusive thing that with all sorts of things in life, we're always seeking after, like, okay, that's something I really want to change and change for good. And so, yeah, just start out and tell us a little bit about when you talk about creating lasting and real change in people's lives, like, how are you defining change? What do you mean when you are talking about making a change?
Yeah, so change to me, the way I've been seeing it more and more lately, is change is kind of equivalent to freedom. Like, we can all change in some superficial, hard, surface level kind of way. I mean, if I told you to never brush your teeth again, like, I don't know, that just popped in my head. You know, you can do it. You wouldn't like it. It'd be hard, especially in the beginning, you know, but like, you could make yourself do that. But we can make ourselves do pretty much anything for some period of time. But that's not the kind of change I'm talking about. Like, I'm talking about where we see life in a particular way. So you see life in a way that you don't even realize you're seeing life. You think that just is life. You know, you feel stuff and you go binge, or you feel stuff and you yell at your kids, or you know, you do, or you procrastinate, or whatever it is that people complain about doing or not doing. And we're so focused on the thing that we do or don't do, in the case of procrastination, we're so focused on that, but we're not seeing that. And innocently, just in it, so innocently, we aren't seeing that the way we see life is leading us to just do that naturally. Like, everyone knows that they don't want to binge eat, for example. But if you're doing it, you know, like, the way you're seeing life and your feelings and what's going on around you and reacting to your own inner experience is leading you to do that behavior over and over again. And so it's like when we can shift the way that we see life, and that's tough sometimes. It looks tough because that's the invisible part. We're like, well, how do I see life? What is that? You know, where is it? I don't know how I see life. I just want to binge, you know, whatever the issue is. Like, so that part's invisible to us. So we'll get to that. But when we can shift that, then we see life in a way where binging doesn't make sense, where we just do things that we want to do. We don't procrastinate. We get angry at our kids, but we give it a minute before we lose our temper, at least most of the time. You know, like naturally change happens. And that's kind of the different angle. So it isn't about changing a behavior from the outside in. It's seeing life in ourselves in a different way so that change naturally unfolds from the inside out.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how you brought just awareness to that it naturally happens. I think that a lot of times we have this perspective of like, I've been stuck doing the same thing in the same way for however long, when in fact, like, there's no such thing as stuck. It's that we've seen life the same way for this many days, right? It's like every moment is a potential for change. And then it's just like, okay, but we've just seen it in the same way, which I think is, like you said, like it's that perspective. So tell us a little bit more about like that perspective of like the way that you see life. It sounds like that's a big hinge point in holding us back from true change.
Yeah. So I think there's several pieces of this. One, what you just said, I just wanted to touch on too, that like change looks like I'm stuck. I have to do something to make a change happen, right? That's the way it looks. That's the myth. Now here's the reality. Like you said, we aren't stuck, and we are always changing. I mean, we are designed to change. It is just completely in our blueprint, in our human design, to be seeing new things and having new thoughts and changing and evolving. And my favorite example of this is like, you know, think about yourself as a seventh grader. Most seventh graders are like angsty and see the world however they see it, you know. But like, how did you get from seeing the world like you did when you were 12 or 13 to the way you see it when you're 30? You didn't have to make that happen. Like that, you just evolved. You didn't do a thing. You just hung out in life. And suddenly a lot of things started looking really different to you. So like that's part of it. I think it's so helpful for people to see that change is built into us. We're always changing. Because when we see that, it kind of just shifts your focus. Rather than staring at your binge eating habit or your procrastination habit or whatever, your anxiety, whatever it is this concrete little boulder that you're staring at saying, this is stuck in my path. You look over here and you're like, oh wait, I'm getting experience all the time, like constantly. And it sounds so simple, but there's just something about not staring at the thing you don't like and shifting your focus to what's really going on that's a huge part of it. You know, it really kind of sets us up to be ready for change.
Yeah. And like you were talking about, it's this illusion, right? Like being stuck is an illusion. I love the example as well, as like you said, we don't have to do anything. Like it just happens. None of us forced ourselves to have a 30-year-old perspective after, you know, from seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And one thing that helps me to think of that as well is like physically, this may be wrong, but it's something like this. You know, in like 8 years, every single cell in your body is replaced by a new one, and we don't have to do anything. Like there's literally nothing we can do about it. But I physically have a completely different body than I did 8 years ago, if that's the number. If it's not, someone please comment and correct me.
Something like that. That's what I would guess too.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it just like, it absolutely happens. Just like the flow of it. Like there's nothing to force. So it sounds like, when you're talking about focusing on the thing that we want to change, it seems like that's where sort of the skill set or the insight comes up, right? Because it's like, okay, so yes, we want to focus our perspective from what we don't want to what we do want and what we want to change. So what is the process of doing that? Like, how do we change that focus?
Well, I think it's just seeing, seeing how our experience really works, you know? So I think I talked about this on one of our shows, but my favorite kind of metaphor for this is a river. So it's like our experience is kind of flowing through us like a river, just like those cells are changing all the time and we have no clue. Our thinking and our feeling state and everything is changing all the time. Now, because we have brains that like to think on a linear path and they like to put a stake in the ground and call something like, this is what it is, we miss that. So we will say things like, and by we, I mean like every single human being on the planet Earth, like we will say things like, oh, I was in a really bad mood last week. Well, you were not in a bad mood every moment of last week. And even if you were, sometimes your mood was like a 10 on the bad scale. And sometimes it went down to an 8 or 9. I know it. You know, like it is literally impossible for us to be stuck in any thought, feeling, anything. So it's like our experience is kind of moving through us like this river rushing through us. And what happens when we stare at the problem or just get mad at our experience or judge our experience or go to work trying to fix it and do a bunch of stuff rather than just stepping back and seeing that we're designed just fine. Like if the less we do, the better. So we want to step back, but the more we get in there, it's like jumping in the middle of that river. And then of course we stop the flow of things. Of course we slow things down. Now the current of the river is still good enough that water is still going to rush. Like that's the good news, is we can't mess it up too much. There is such a safety net built into the human design that even when we get in the way, even when we convince ourselves that we're sick and we have these disorders and we're never going to get better, we still get moments of peace. Every single person out there does. We still get moments of clarity. We still, our mind still settles down. We're just making it harder on ourselves than we need to. You know, we might be slowing it down or we might be suffering more than we need to in the process, but it's still happening, you know? And so I think kind of seeing how that works, like energy comes through us, it forms thought, we feel that thought, and then it washes away. And getting like kind of seeing the flow of that, and that it isn't about grabbing onto a thought and saying, well, what do I do with this one? It wants to leave you. Let it. It wants to flow through you. Let it. Because there's a bigger underlying design that has this covered. You know, we just need to quit trying to force it.
And, you know, like you're talking about all the suffering, you know, that difference between like, there's the pain, there's a thing actually happening. And then there's like all the suffering and, you know, like your image of being in that river and messing with everything. It's like that idea. It reminds me of a woman that I worked with, you know, she just has this feeling like I have the urge to binge eat all day. And just like you said, I was like, okay, let's get the reality. That's how you're feeling right now. So mm-hmm. What's the reality? And so she actually looked at it. She's like, okay, I had an urge to binge eat 5 times yesterday. Okay. So there are more than 5 moments in the day, right? So it's like, but each time that we like jump in the river and we're like, oh, okay, well, it has to be this way, or that's what this thought is, or, you know, I feel this way all the time, telling ourselves we feel that way all the time, like creates more of that, right?
Exactly. So she had maybe 5 urges, but then in all those other moments, she was thinking about the urge she just had or predicting the one that was going to come. So she was right when she said, when it felt to her, right? Like she had urges all day long. But when we really look at it, like you did with her, exactly. It's like we have like this ball and chain and we carry all of this thinking around with us. And we're in a totally fresh moment where, and nothing's there yet. You know, that's all the future is. It's wide open. But we're throwing into the future all of this thought, what if this happens, or this happened yesterday, or I need to fix this, you know, and it just gets so hard when we do that.
Yeah. And we're coloring everything that could be new and enjoyable or not enjoyable, like whatever it is, we're coloring it all with what we've kind of like carried with us. Yes. So I love that perspective of like, okay, well, you shift your focus and you don't have to put a lens on everything that you're experiencing. Like you can just let it flow through. Like you can just experience what you experience, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So help us to understand how this relates to making change lasting, like really, you know, kind of creating what we want to happen. And it sounds like more of a perspective shift on empowerment of like, okay, like I get to decide what happens, it doesn't happen to me. So tell us how that creates like real change with this perspective shift.
Yeah. So the way I think of it is it's like, I don't know, just in my preference, like for the language of it, it seems to me less like creating and more like looking toward what wants to happen. I really don't think that we were put on this earth to suffer and to spin around in, you know, this cycle of repetitive thinking. And that's all any habit is. That's all any suffering is a cycle of repetitive thinking that we are thinking is real. It's an illusion. It's neurons in your brain. Like it has nothing to do with the outside. It isn't coming from the outside. It's a big inner movie that looks and feels really real with amazing special effects, because we do. We feel it emotionally. We feel it physically. Then we act on it. And then it does impact our lives. But what it really is at its basis is just energy moving through us, taking shape in a story, you know? So we get caught up in that story, and that creates every problem we have, basically. So when we understand how this works and we don't get as caught up in the story, and we just see that we're thinking all the time, like that there's a movie playing, not which movie it is. I don't really care which movie it is. Like you know, it doesn't matter. Like everybody thinks all kinds of crazy stuff and all kinds of nice stuff and all kinds of wonderful stuff. And it has nothing to do with anything because it comes and it goes. Yeah. You know, so it's hanging less on the content and the thoughts and all of this stuff, but by truly seeing that they aren't, like, it's not about anything you do to hang on them less. It's by seeing that they don't really mean anything. So why would you hang on them less? Like, that's an insight. That's like, oh, well then duh. Of course, you know, you're still human. And of course you still get caught up in things from time to time. But you just see all that in a different way. So like what I see all the time is when people see that in that different way, there's just like a different way of experiencing life. It's a different way of experiencing an urge, a different way of thinking about their habits. They're not doing the staring at the boulder thing as much. And because it's in our design to be habit free and have life flow through us, that's exactly what happens. I mean, I know it sounds kind of magical because there's no like 10-step process, which is sort of what we're used to in the world, but it is the most practical thing in the world. I mean, I see this happen every single day for people. We see something new and we have a new view of life, and suddenly like things just start to get easier, you know, because that's sort of the design of it.
Yeah. Exactly. I love that. And I think that we already have so much in our experience that we're already seeing from that different perspective. And we focus on the things that we're used to seeing in a certain way. So for instance, like, oh, you know, like if I have a thought to, you know, binge eat, then that's scary. And that thought and that perspective makes me want to do that thing. But then we forget all the other stuff that we have thoughts about that we have no fear of actually doing that thing, right? It's like, if you're on the subway and you see somebody attractive and you have a thought of kissing them, like, you're not like, oh no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to kiss them. You know what I mean? It's just like,
right.
We already have lots of things we don't think of in that sort of like, oh, we have to hold on to it. And yeah. So it probably what you're saying is like shifting the perspective, but just with the things that we want to see change in, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that we're already thinking of in a very calm and fine way. We're just not focusing on it.
Yeah. And just seeing what you're pointing to there, like just seeing that as a basic principle, because it is like, we feel a steady stream of thinking from the moment we're born to the moment we die. And it's brought to life in a real way. And some of it is brought to life as, oh no, I hope I don't binge. And some of it's brought to life as, oh, I'd like to kiss that person. And some of it's just, you know, goes right past us. We have no conscious awareness of it. And that's the way life works 24/7, our whole lives, for every single person on earth. So when we're getting all caught up in the, oh no, I hope I don't binge kind of thing, like when you know, when you have a firm grounding in how that works, what we just described, you just see that differently. You know, like your emotion and your worry and your fear, you start to see that as, oh, I'm getting really caught up in a thought. Like I'm seeing a shadow and thinking it's a monster. And I mean, that honestly, like, it's such a paradox because, I mean, we are still human, and every human on earth, we like, it's such a vivid experience we have that we all get caught up in thoughts at times, you know, and it's not a thing of catching them or doing anything with them. But it's also true that you start to just really see life that way, you know, like the worse you feel or the harder something looks or whatever, it's like, oh, I see what that means. You know, I'm thinking this shadow is a monster. And that, I don't know, you know, it just slows it down. You don't go kiss the stranger. Like, you just have some common sense come in and you do something different.
Yeah, because you can see it as like, oh, it's a silly thought. Of course I wouldn't do it. Yeah. And then, oh, well, that applies to all thoughts.
Or even it's a painful, horrible, terrifying thought. Even like, oh my God, I'm so gripped to binge eat right now, but I know how this works. Yeah. I know this is just life moving through me. And I know there's another moment, you know? I mean, even that, it's, yeah, it's awesome.
Like you say, all you have to do is, like, if you want that to change, just wait. Like, literally don't do anything and it's going to change on its own. I love that perspective. Yeah. And one thing that I love how you're bringing the change back to the freedom, because I was just thinking about how, like, when we have change sort of thrust upon us, and a lot of times it's very unpleasant, like, oh, I didn't know I had to do that today, right? Mm-hmm. But then that feeling of freedom, like you said, of, oh, well, this is what I'm intending. Like, I'm intending for this change because I'm going to shift my perspective. And that feels so free because, like, we're choosing it. So, yeah, I think those things are so interrelated. Yeah. So tell us more about just, like, you know, shifting that perspective or whatever else is on your mind with just, you know, change in general. And then I have questions because I just love picking your brain about all sorts of things because it's wonderful. But yeah, so tell us more.
Yeah. So one thing I've just been seeing about this lately, you know, is like when you think about change, anybody out there just thinks about change, or you Google how to change or how to break a habit or whatever. I mean, you know, again, like everything you're going to get for them, at least 90% of what you're going to get is an outside, what I would call an outside in. So it's like, if you want, and it's obvious, if you want to quit smoking, well, you do all these things, right? You get a patch or you wean off cigarette, you know, you do whatever you do. It's all about this outside in kind of behavioral strategy. Sometimes it's a little deeper, which is like, oh, well, think about this way, think about it that way, or try to make yourself feel better. If you're feeling anxious and that leads you to your habit, try to calm yourself down. But even then it's like, well, how do I calm myself down? And you get things like go for a walk and journal, which are, there's nothing wrong with that if that's what occurs to you to do. But as we all know, like, you know, you don't cure habits and find freedom by going for a walk. Like, it just isn't always going to work that way for everyone. So there's all this outside in. And when you think about it, all of life is outside in, right? Like, I was just talking with someone right before we talked, and she was just complaining about like the school systems and how it's all like, do what we say and read the, you know, that we can find so many examples of how we're just kind of used to being told what to do and we do it and things run efficiently. And I think that's gotten us in this mindset, which is very innocent and normal, of, yeah, like, show me what to do. But again, that's the kind of change that requires discipline and willpower. And like you said, it's kind of thrust upon you and it's like, I have to do these things. It keeps your habit feeling like a problem. Like, I have this problem that I'm going to now try to do these things to fix this problem. And it's like, if we just flip that entire thing on its head, okay, your habit's not a problem. Your habit's a solution. So that sounds kind of crazy, but what if we just see that when we're experiencing thought that's getting all caught up in us, you know, like that river and it's all jammed up and we're taking it seriously and we're thinking it's really real and all of this stuff, we don't feel good. And thank God, because otherwise we'd go around doing that our whole lives, believing a bunch of garbage and telling ourselves that, you know what I mean? Like, not seeing clearly. So consider that the bad feel, we kind of call them bad feelings or whatever it is that kind of leads us to do our habit, like they are this wonderful intelligence. They're there to kind of get your attention and show you, hey, if you're binge eating regularly or you're full of anxiety or you're full of depression or whatever, there's something you're just not seeing right. There's not a problem with you. It's not your fault. You have your brain works just like everyone else's, but you're caught up in what's going on. You're not letting your river flow freely. You're in there, you know, kind of making a mess of it innocently. We all do it. We all have stuff. But I think that's like, for, you know, it's awesome to kind of see, wow, it's not about attacking this habit and stopping, you know, this bad thing. It's like starting to see this bad thing that we want to give all these bad names to. It's a really healthy, intelligent response to something. Now, a better response is to see the truth of our experience works. Then we just feel more relaxed to kind of let it move through us. But given what we, how we see life, that's the best we can do in that moment to feel better, you know? So I think just that switch of like seeing it's not a problem and trying to kind of understand it and have an open mind about it really changes a lot of things. And then, you know, it's about like, just again, seeing that, that we are designed to see more clearly and have new thought. And if we look for that to happen rather than beating this like monster of a habit or whatever we, all these bad names we assign to it, like things just happen. I mean, we have insights and we see how this works in a bigger way. And that's kind of what I mean by freedom. You know, that's where it happens from the inside out. Like that's where you get to that point where it's like, oh, I don't need to do this. You know, it just looks obvious.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that, and on the other side, like it, you're getting less and less free, because I love the perspective of, okay, like you shift internally how you're seeing these things and you're allowing, you're actually letting go. You're like letting it happen. Because as I see it, anything from the outside, whether it's, you know, a situation or a patch or avoiding an emotion, it's like, oh, okay, well, I do my habit when I feel this way, so I have to not feel that way. Oh, I do my habit when I'm in this situation, so I have to avoid that situation. Yeah. And your life turns into a prison, like, because it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And like, I can only do these four things to, yeah, you know, in my life, because everything else creates a habit. Oh, I still am doing it. Well, now I have three things I can do in life. Like, it's sort of a scary perspective to like get smaller and smaller. So, you know, just from that sort of letting go place, it's like, okay, all right, take a deep breath, like just allow and know that like you're not having to force anything.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so I would love to hear your thoughts. Maybe this will be a little out in the weeds, but I wanted to hear your perspective on this. Just as humans, I feel like we are always wanting to change. Like, however things are, we're always wanting to change things, right? It's like, and as soon as we sort of get to the place that we wanted to, we're dissatisfied with it and we want to change some more. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your thoughts about sort of that desire as humans to change and how to sort of navigate that in a way that feels free, knowing that we always kind of want to keep adjusting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great question. I think because we have, again, like our brains just think in a way that's like, where can I get, where can I get? It's never about just being here. It's about going out there somewhere and bettering things. That is like this constant narrative, but it is like, it is a bunch of thinking, you know, like it isn't, and it's nothing really but a bunch of thinking. So I'm not saying like don't change, or that, you know, wanting to change is a bad thing. Or, I mean, obviously sometimes it's a wonderful thing, especially if you have a really, really harmful habit or something. But it's like, for me, I just always think of like, well, when my mind is quiet, when there's no pressure on it, when there's no like, where should I be and what is wrong about what I'm doing now, you know, then what wants to happen? Because I don't see little kids like constantly wanting to change. And some of them have habits. I mean, like, you know, they have stuff that they don't necessarily like. And maybe somewhere in them, like there's still this natural kind of evolution toward kind of shedding things that aren't helpful. And it works really nicely in them because they don't get in the way with their thinking, right? They're not pushing it and rushing it and how am I doing and how's my friend doing? And, you know, like they just don't think all that stuff. So they don't bog themselves down with all their own thinking. And so they have issues, they have anxieties, they have nightmares, they bite their nails, whatever happens for them. And we all know as adults, oh, look how kids kind of outgrow things. Now, sometimes if you're a more anxious adult, you think, oh my gosh, I have to get my kid into therapy, you know, but in general, like we have this way of looking at children and we're like, they're resilient, they'll be fine. Well, somehow we forget that we have the exact same design Like, we don't outgrow that after we hit a certain age. All we do is we think over it and we complicate it and we put pressure on ourselves and we make up standards for where we should be, you know? So I think it can feel like a bit of a paradox, you know, that of course we all want to change and we all want to feel as good as we can feel in life. And at the same time, it's totally okay to just be right where you are and not feel okay. You know, it's a tough thing to get our head around because it's paradox, but you can kind of feel it deeper how both of those things can be true.
Yeah. And like you were saying, you know, our brains really like to like think in linear time and like put a stake in the ground. And just like you were saying with this perspective of change is just something that happens. Like it's like this continuum, like it's always just going to keep going. So just sort of that celebration of like, oh, look at how far I've come and look, I'm still changing, you know, and I'll just like keep on adjusting my perspective and continuing to change. So yeah, I love that. And I love how you talked about how when we get quiet, that insight just comes to us, right? Like it's amazing just in my own personal experience as well. It's like the more we try to force things because we really, really, really want a solution, it's like the more gummed up they get. But when it's just like, we let go, then it's like, oh, that's the solution. Like it comes to us.
All the time. That is so huge to see. I recently put out a bunch of case studies of people that have experienced really deep lasting change. And they're in areas like, I mean, everything from eating disorders to, I have a guy who was suicidally depressed for 34 years. And they couldn't put him on more medication. And he was going to counseling twice a week for 34 years. Anxiety, like overthinking, so addiction, like alcohol addiction, so many different issues. And that was kind of like a common theme in every one of them, is that they were thinking they had a problem, thinking they were sick, thinking they were damaged, trying to change, doing all this stuff to change. And in an instant, basically, and yes and no, but it, you know, from a quiet mind space, they just saw something. They just saw, oh, like maybe I can be free of this, or oh, maybe there is still hope, or oh, maybe I'm not an addict, you know? And that started a ball kind of rolling of seeing new thought in a different direction. And I love those stories. Like they're all pretty dramatic, and I did choose them, you know, there's many I could have chosen, and I chosen ones that were somewhat dramatic, but I know like we can use that against ourselves. So often people will say, oh, well, my change wasn't like that, you know, like, oh, well, I didn't have this huge insight like that. And they want to beat themselves up with that information. But the thing is, like, it's not necessarily like the way it always works by any stretch, but they show us what's possible. If it's possible for someone who is suicidal for 34 years on a ton of depression medication to wake up and see, oh my gosh, maybe this was all just depressed thinking and maybe I'm okay. If that's possible for him, that shows us something about human nature that we want to pay attention to. You know, like I'm not saying go out and be a Dave or that you should be just like him, but man, that makes me curious. If we're all the same, he has nothing that anyone else doesn't have, you know, and same with all these stories. It's like, I love the kind of insight sort of story just for that reason, because it just shows us, oh my gosh, there's so much hope here.
Yeah. I love that. And then I know that, you know, with your little school of big change, like that you're, you know, talking about principles like that and teaching that and sort of like, you know, giving the information that people need to shift. So tell us a little bit about the little school of big change.
Yeah. So it's kind of following up on demand from my book, The Little Book of Big Change, where people are like, okay, I see there's something in this, you know, but I want more. Like, how do I see this in a deeper way? So it's basically an online school, an online community. And there's a lot of like very carefully curated content. So someone who, you know, knows nothing about any of these principles that I share can kind of come in and be walked through a series of conversations, video lessons, animations, lots of material to really kind of start to see what we're pointing to here. So that, you know, someone will come in with no understanding or sometimes with some understanding of this. And rather than feeling like that river is just beating them all over the place, they're like you say, you know, on the shore of the river. And it's like, oh, I kind of see how this works, you know? So that alone is huge for people. So there's a lot of content, but there's also a community as well, which is really, the, as you know, is a community leader. I mean, that's where the magic happens. People learn from each other and it's awesome.
Yeah. And learning from each other's insight, I think, is so beautiful. Like when we get quiet and we have that insight, it's so cool. But when we as a community can quiet our minds and stop sort of the rush, and then we say our insight, it's like popcorn for everyone else. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, like that's amazing. Like their truth speaks to someone else's truth. And it's such a cool thing. So I love it. I love all the support that you give and the beautiful things that you create in the world. Thank you. I know that you've helped me so much just with being a human, right? It's like understanding things. Even just like the other day, I was just like upset and I was like, it's just weather. I'm just going to wait. Let the clouds go by, right? So thank you. I mean, Amy, you're just such a wonderful human being. And what do you feel like our conversation is complete today, or do you feel like there's something missing, anything else that you would want to say to create a wholeness in our chat today?
Yeah, no, I just hope everyone kind of gets a sense of hope from this. You know, I know it's kind of like learning to ride a bike or like learning a new language. You're kind of like, what are they talking about? But then there's like a way in which you just kind of find your balance, you know? And I just hope if nothing else, people listening just feel like, okay, there's hope, and there's always like a behind the scenes, you know, that we're not seeing. And I just want to say to you too, I love what you do so much. People all the time are like, oh, I found you on Lydia's YouTube channel, you know, and they just love you and your energy, and everyone just loves like the way that you present things. And I just really appreciate you as well.
Well, I'm so happy that we're connected. It's a beautiful thing. And thank you. That is so awesome. Very sweet. And thank you for being back and just adding more value to this amazing, just bank of principles and truths to just help us to have a good life. Just like, okay, we're going to be in these brains for the rest of our lives. Like we're going to, you know, experience life for however long we get. So let's just have it be a good time.
That's a little taken so seriously because it isn't.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much for being on, Dr. Amy Johnson. And for any more information about the Little School of Big Change, what you can do is go ahead and there is a link in the show notes, and you can just click there, and that'll give you more info about how to get in touch with Dr. Amy and how to learn about her school where she teaches these principles. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you guys so much for being on, and we will see you soon. Mwah. Bye. Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session. Where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on 3 things. 1, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. 2, what isn't working with your approach. And 3, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah!